and now the haughty suitors entered. These soon took seats in order, on couches and on chairs. Pages poured water on their hands, maids heaped them bread in baskets, and young men brimmed the bowls with drink, and on the food spread out before them they laid hands. So after they had stayed desire for drink and food, then in their thoughts they turned to other things, the song and dance, for these attend a feast. A page put a beautiful harp into the hands of Phemius, who sang perforce among the suitors, and touching the harp he raised his voice and sang a pleasing song. Then said Telemachus to clear-eyed Athena, his head bent close that others might not hear, "Good stranger, will you feel offense at what I say? These things are all their care, the harp and song, an easy care when, making no amends, they eat the substance of a man whose white bones now are rotting in the rain, if lying on the land, or in the sea the waters roll them round. Yet were they once to see him coming home to Ithaca, they all would pray rather for speed of foot than stores of gold and clothing. But he, instead, by some hard fate is gone, and naught remains to us of comfort. No, not if any man on earth shall say he still will come. Past is his day of coming. But now, declare me this, and plainly tell, who are you? Of what people? Where is your town and kindred? On what ship did you come? And how did sailors bring you to Ithaca? Whom did they call themselves? For I am sure you did not come on foot. And tell me truly this, that I may know full well if for the first time now you visit here, or are you my father's friend? For many foreigners once sought our home, because Odysseus also was a rover among men." Then said to him the goddess, clear-eyed Athena, "Well, I will very plainly tell you all. Mentes I call myself, the son of wise Anchialus, and I am lord of o'er-loving Taphians. Even now I put in here, with ship and crew, when sailing over the wine-dark sea to men of a strange speech, to Temesa, for bronze. I carry glittering iron. Here my ship lies, just off the fields outside the town, within the bay of Rhythron, under woody Neion. Hereditary friends we count ourselves from early days, as you may learn if you will go and ask old Lord Laertes. He, people say, comes to the town no more, but far out in the country suffers hardship, an aged woman his attendant, who supplies him food and drink whenever weariness weighs down his knees as he creeps about his slope of garden ground. Even now I came, for I was told your father was at home. But, as I see, the gods delay his journey, for surely nowhere yet on earth has royal Odysseus died. Living, he lingers somewhere still on the wide sea, upon some sea-girt island, and cruel men constrain him, savage folk who hold him there against his will. Nay, I will make a prophecy as the immortals prompt my mind, and as I think will happen, although I am no prophet and have no skill in birds. Not long shall he be absent from his own dear land, though iron fetters bind him. Some means he will devise to come away, for many a shift has he. But now, declare me this, and plainly tell, if you indeed, so tall, are the true son of Odysseus. You surely are much like him in head and beautiful eyes. So often we were together before he embarked for Troy, where others, too, the bravest of the Argives, went in their hollow ships. But since that day I have not seen Odysseus, nor he me.